then learning software development, there's been a lot of things that I've learned there. And then more recently, learning about business, learning negotiation, learning how to run a company, how to sell a company. These are all things that I hadn't anticipated.
Right.
And it's just something that, especially now that we've got AI on the cusp of really right. transforming jobs, it makes me realize that being stagnant is just not an option in today's economy. That if I stagnate in my learning and I just want to keep doing the same thing, I'm going to be someone whose job becomes replaced very quickly. That even programming, which people had thought would be one of the jobs which would be automated last, is probably...
Welcome to your new podcast, Optimum Ideation, with the host and Bridges. Idea interviews. The best of human ideation. Everyone has a superpower. But times are hot, many are in the darkness of their own mind, in need of a helping hand. Helping others to become whole.
Our sponsoring brands.
Third-party people. NFT Fashion. TGC Fashion. Markpoint.
Enjoy the show with today's guest,
Jeremy Nagel. Welcome, everybody, to Optimum Ideation Podcast. Today is Easter, and we have our friend here, Jeremy Nagel, and we're just going to go right into some questions with him, and we're going to ask him, what is your story, your resume, and how did you get to here?
Thanks for having me on the show, Tim. Very interesting question. That could be a long answer, but...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Cool. Well, in terms of my story and my resume, I've been a software developer for about 10 years, and there's been a bit of an evolution in what I've been doing for work during that time. That I originally got into software development as something that I hadn't studied at university. I did environmental science at university, and I was very passionate about renewable energy. I wanted to get into that field, but when I graduated, there weren't many jobs, so I ended up getting some freelance work as a software developer. And over time, I was able to eventually pivot into working for companies that did have some focus on renewable energy using my software development skills.
Good.
It was nice to be able to combine those two areas. And something that I discovered recently about myself is that I got a diagnosis with ADHD last year, and that really helped to explain some of the challenges that I had early in my career. Because part of the reason that I worked as a freelance developer for the start of my career was because I was not very good at working in larger organizations. I got fired from about 4 jobs because part of it was that I don't necessarily have a great filter. So there were a few times where I gave feedback to my manager in a way that was maybe a bit too direct.
And that
didn't really go down well. And a few other things where I was late in one case for a really critical meeting for one of my jobs, and that got me fired. There's been a bit of adjustment, me learning how to cope with the way that my brain works. And I'm now doing pretty well. I'm pretty established in my career, and I've been running a business as well that I ended up selling in 2022. So I've found my way, but it's been a bit of a weaving journey. I think neurotypical people tend to have a journey that's a bit more predictable with their career, whereas mine has been a little bit like a pinball game, bouncing off walls and gradually getting to where I've ended up today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, I can relate there, man. You know, I graduated with a criminal justice degree and a minor in psychology. And I never, you know, formally used that. I went into energy and, you know, pipeline to midstream oil and gas, and built my whole career in that. But, you know, probably like yourself, I like to build things. I like to develop things and create things. And so even when I'm not at work, like I go home, I don't want to sit in front of a TV. Like I want to create something, you know, like I have to be working and building something of value for somebody. I guess that's what this podcast is about, is, you know, using spare time even on Easter, you know, to break free and come build something with you.
Yeah, I'm definitely the same, that I enjoy creating new businesses and working on new projects. Yeah. I have to restrain myself at times, though, because spending all my time working isn't great for my health or my relationships.
Yeah.
So now, finding that balance, working on things that I care about, but also making sure that I'm there for my wife when we're moving house and cooking dinner and things like that.
Right, right. Yeah. I was blessed with finding a wife that she loves to build things too. So we've built some amazing things together. And her fashion brand is TGC Fashion. And that's really been taking off this past year. So it's been really cool to see her start developing her things.
And, wonderful.
Do you have stuff like that with your wife? Where y'all are building little projects, or
a little bit. My wife has helped me with some of my businesses.
Good.
And she's doing a master's in data science at the moment. Cool. So she's pretty busy with that, but there's a little bit that I can help with there in terms of my coding skills. If she gets stuck with some of her machine learning problems, then I sometimes help with that.
Very good. Now, I guess we touched on this a little bit, but what layers did you have to reveal to become who you are now?
Yeah, I spoke about my ADHD diagnosis. I also was diagnosed with autism. So that was another interesting diagnosis, so another revelation for me in terms of just learning things that I found hard. In terms of, I don't particularly enjoy working in an office environment where there's a lot of bright lights and background conversations. And I always felt like I just needed to suck it up and get better at it, because I can get through those situations. And I have worked in office environments and it's been okay. But I've realized that as part of the pandemic, being able to work from home, it's actually been much better for me. I feel a lot calmer and I have more creative energy when I can be at home.
Very good. Yeah. I always had issue with that too, you know, and there was one point in my career where we had like four people in the same office and we had little cubby walls or whatever, but man, it was tough. I'm sitting here managing like multi-million-dollar jobs, and I'm on the phone and they're on the phone and I'm on the thing and typing estimates and managing projects. And I'm like, guys, what I'm doing is hard enough. And then you stick me in a room with three other people chatting away. And it's just, you know, maybe it's just me, but it's just, that was not for me either. I understand. This past 6 years or so, I've been working from home, and you know, it's been a blessing to be able to see my kids grow up but also just for the peace, you know, because if I want to do a little meditation or something, hey, by all means, it's not going to look weird, you know, there's not somebody sitting in the cubby over saying, what's this guy doing over here?
Yeah, absolutely. I sometimes like to do push-ups and squats throughout the day to try and keep my energy level high. And that would be a little bit weird if I were doing that in an office environment.
Exactly. Our weird little rituals we come up with, you know, but exercising your calves are like a second heart, you know, and if you can stretch those out and make those things build up, pumps your blood up to your heart and throughout your body. What is your next layer to remove? You've knocked off some hard ones there. What's your next layer?
So this is in terms of things that might be getting in the way and making it harder for me to progress. I think at the moment, I work with an ADHD coach, and we often talk about issues that are getting in the way. And some of the things for me right now are probably related to interactions with other people.
Yeah.
So I've got teams that I manage, and I find that a little bit challenging to be able to do that well, but I know that it's necessary.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm working on in terms of actually being willing to put the time into managing people. And
yeah.
I never liked doing one-on-one meetings, even though I know it's very important. I'm having to get out of my comfort zone a little bit and find ways to be able to encourage people and also hold them accountable without getting into the emotions of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it takes to run a company, you know, and you have to deal with other people and they've all got their ideas of what it should be or what this thing should look like. And, you know, some people may not be as kind as you and me, but you just gotta, you know, I found that the best way for me to manage was whenever I started, you know, when I had my kids and I started looking at my kids, like, you know, I don't want to have to spank them. I don't want to have to be mean to them. Right. And so I started looking at like employees or maybe even coworkers as, you know, started looking at them different, like treating them like they're my kids, you know, and in a sense, you know, maybe they'll disrespect you sometimes and that's okay. You know, that's okay. You know, we're going to let them speak what they got to say and just not let it affect you. Like you're the parent, you're running the show and it's okay. You know, hey, you got that? Let's talk about it. You know, let's sit down, let's hammer this thing out. 'Cause we got this job to do. So that way everybody can keep getting paid. Right. And, you know, start to look at things in a different viewpoint as compared to maybe the B-list management that I got in my career, where it's like fear-based. You do this thing or you lose your job. You wouldn't say that to your kid, you know? And so, you know, just trying to come at things in a different manner lets you approach things differently. Maybe that will help, you know? It helped me. To just kind of be more patient, maybe not just jump off into something, let them say their piece, take a breather, think about it, think about the best approach to it, maybe even write some stuff down and then see if that works and then go talk to them about it, you know? But yeah, I know what you mean. You know, that's, you know, managing people is not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, I think that's a really good mental model to think about them as people that I treasure and treating them accordingly.
Yeah. What trials and tribulations have you been through?
I touched upon how in my early career, I got fired from many jobs and that led to quite a lot of difficulty for me in terms of financial instability, not having consistent work isn't so great. I got into quite a lot of debt in my early 20s and that created a lot of anxiety and practical problems in terms of being able to pay rent.
Yeah.
So, and at the same time, I was also going through other challenges in my personal life, other mental health issues. I had essentially an eating disorder where I was binge eating and getting into exercise bulimia. Really maladaptive coping mechanisms to deal with some of the pressures that I felt. And it wasn't until my mid-20s where I got into recovery from that and started being able to cope a lot better with some of the stresses that I felt. Learning, you were talking about meditation before, adapting meditation as a daily practice, using exercise in a healthy way rather than a way to punish myself, having more people that I could talk to. All of those techniques helped me to get better at dealing with the stresses that I felt. I've been able to let go of the maladaptive behaviors that I had previously. Still have challenges from time to time, but I'm better able to deal with them these days.
Yeah. 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 I had some of the eating disorder stuff too. And it was probably from growing up in a not so, you know, opulent world. You know, I kind of grew up in a bad neighborhood and, you know, gotten a lot of fights and things. And you know, I never had the nice shoes and the nice clothes that these other people had. So they want to pick on me, et cetera. And, you know, and then you just start hating yourself. And, you know, and that kind of led to my little eating disorder, you know, that, and, you know, just not really having, you know, a ton of money or nothing either. So that didn't help, but I just got to where, you know, I do these intermittent fasting and, you know, sometimes you just wouldn't have food. So, you know, heck. And then when I did eat, I'd binge eat and then throw it up, you know, but, you know, these are things that not a lot of people talk about, probably not a lot of people deal with it either, you know, so not a lot of people understand it. And, you know, that's where I feel like I kind of understand a lot of people, because I've been through a lot of different things in my life, a lot of chapters. And so, yeah, I dealt with that as well for probably a couple of years, and, you know, forcing yourself to throw up type stuff. And it's not fun. I think it's maybe self-hate, you know, and, but, when you can respect who you are and, you know, not worry about what other people's opinions are of you, even if it's your own family or your own parents or, you know, whoever it is that you're trying to live up to some standard for, that's just never going to be enough, and just be okay with yourself. And you found someone that loves you, you know, that's a huge blessing. You know, these are things that, that, you know, get rid of all that bad stuff of the past, right? Help you get away from that.
I'm glad you talked about that, because I think it's something that it does affect a lot of men, but it's, there's a lot of stigma around it. And
really, no one wants to talk about it.
To talk about it.
But what if we were all strong enough to do it? You know, what if we were all strong enough to do it? Where would we be? When you became passionate about your focus, when was that, you know, in this IT world that you've jumped into?
Passionate about my focus. I don't know that I ever have stuck to one focus.
Okay.
There's always advice around that you should have laser-like focus on one thing. And my ADHD brain rebels against that. I've always had multiple projects that, when I had my first job where I actually stuck to it, I still had my other business running on the side doing Zoho CRM consulting. Yeah. And I basically always had a side hustle for most of my working career, which has been in some cases challenging, and I've questioned, why am I doing this? Why am I creating extra stress? But it did ultimately lead me to developing the last business that I had, which was a plugin for Zoho CRM that I later sold to a larger business.
Awesome.
And in that case, having multiple different areas that I'm interested in was helpful. I think it's not always a great idea for everyone, because there's a book called Essentialism, where he talks about you really do need to channel your energy into not having it diffuse, because if you have lots and lots of different ideas, you'll make 1 inch of progress in a million directions versus being able to make lots of progress in one direction. Yeah. I do get that, but I think that it's possible to maybe have two or three areas where I can push forward in, and especially if the idea doesn't necessarily have traction. If I invest a lot of effort into one idea, and then I could be wasting my time. It might be that I get it to a certain point and no one's interested in it, whereas I've got some other things that I've been doing at the same time and they are getting traction.
Right.
It's pretty clear then that, like, I can stop what I was doing before and focus on where I'm actually getting some progress.
Yeah. I've went through the same things, you know. About 4 years ago, I broke free from corporate America and went and started these companies here. And so I had already had set up this creative agency to where I can do graphic design work. And like you said, some of the Zoho, I love Zoho. I think it's a good tool. It's great for business. And so, doing design and consulting, hey, if you need a tool, I could build out the Zoho for you too. So I imagine that's what you were doing. But the other side of my brain, and what I'd always wanted to do was create a recruitment staffing company and focused on oil and gas where I come from. And so we've been staffing these construction and maintenance projects, and so that was the main breadwinner. So I had to put this other thing on the shelf over there, but there was times where if I didn't keep up with both of them, then I wouldn't have brokered these deals over here. Then we would have been done already, But there's been times that this one had to pay this one, or keep things going. And had we not went through this crazy stuff that we've been going through these past few years, we wouldn't even be talking about that, but like you said, it's like this one's going. This one's not, and then there's been time, this one's not moving, this one's moving. And it's like, if you didn't have that, then you'd be burnt, but now my wife's got her thing going, so that's another little thing off on the side, with the fashion deal. So, but I feel like that's pretty focused. It's not too stretched out with, too far. But yeah, I understand where you're coming from. For sure.
Yeah, I think two things is okay. Maybe
Yeah.
five things is too many.
Yeah.
I've
Yeah.
tried to do many, many different projects at one time, and I think it works if I have a team that can execute on the ideas.
Yeah.
But if I'm trying to do it all myself, then it's not really going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Who were your greatest contributors to your character?
When I was at university, I did a leadership program organized by the Oak Tree Foundation, which is an Australian charity that has a mission of trying to wipe out extreme poverty. And I found that really impactful for the direction that I wanted to go. One of the leaders of that program was talking about the concept of social entrepreneurship, the idea that we can create enterprises that not only generate income, but also have a broader impact on the world around us. And I found that really motivating. I think that has really shaped my direction in terms of the type of projects that I've wanted to work on, and especially my latest business, where I'm trying to make an impact on ADHD and help other people who've gone through the same issue. So I'd say that was one of the greatest influences, seeing that there was a world that business didn't have to be about purely profit maximization, that there can be other aspects to it too.
Yeah, definitely. When you first started in your journey, what is something that was more challenging than you had expected?
Guess in the IT world, one challenge has been that knowledge is always growing, and you have to constantly retrain and reskill. I guess I'd gotten through high school and felt that that was really challenging, that I didn't enjoy it, and I was telling myself in year 12, I just have to get through these 6 months, and I won't ever have to go through an intense learning period like this again. Which, I mean, maybe it hasn't been quite as intense, but that need to keep learning has been ever present. And to a certain extent, I enjoy it. I like learning new things, but I didn't necessarily anticipate that, say, if I go back 12 years, at that point, I thought that I would be working at an environmental consulting agency. And I've never done that. I have worked in adjacent fields, but then learning software development, there's been a lot of things that I've learned there. And then more recently, learning about business, learning negotiation, learning how to run a company, how to sell a company. These are all things that I hadn't anticipated.
Right.
And it's just something that, especially now that we've got AI on the cusp of really right. transforming jobs, it makes me realize that being stagnant is just not an option in today's economy. That if I stagnate in my learning and I just want to keep doing the same thing, I'm going to be someone whose job becomes replaced very quickly. That even programming, which people had thought would be one of the jobs which would be automated last, is probably almost on the chopping block now. That with ChatGPT, it's very easy to write basic programs. And I've got friends, like I was talking to a lawyer friend the other day who was saying that she wants to make a database, and she got a quote for tens of thousands of dollars. But now with ChatGPT, she's doing it herself, and
yeah,
she'll probably get it done. So it's something that I think it has great potential. And if we're able to stay ahead and find the ways where human brains are indispensable, that's going to make us in a position where we can contribute. But if we just try and do jobs which are relatively unthinking and which can be automated, then that's going to be a major challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really surprised me, all these layoffs that these, you know, like the Apples and the Googles and all these people, you know. But I imagine they're just laying off all these people and, you know, and then utilizing this new AI tech, huh? And
yeah, that's partly probably that.
Yeah.
There might be a bit of tech exuberance that was happening towards in 2021 and start of 2022, where stock prices were going crazy. And based on that, they wanted to hire more people. And now it's reset to a more normal level, and they're having to recalibrate. And I think you're right that part of the layoffs were probably just because they had overhired. And now potentially it's, do we really need this many people? Can we actually do some of the same work by making our existing team more productive using AI?
Yeah, yeah. I'm spending a lot of time learning it myself. So, and I'm actually teaching my kids how to use it as well. I wrote a book two nights ago, and I did all the images out of it from Blue Willow on Discord. So
nice.
But my wife, she gets up at 2 a.m. What are you doing? I said, I just wrote a book. Oh my God. A kid's book, of course.
That's awesome. Have you shared that book already on the podcast?
No. This is like two nights ago. I just finished it. And just tested it on the kids last night. So they enjoyed it, but I think I'm gonna edit it a little bit more.
Cool.
What is your best piece of advice for an audience that truly wants to better themselves or others in this life?
Me, I think the biggest piece of advice would be finding ways to turn insight into habits. Because I did a lot of personal development training in my early 20s, and going to those workshops is very impactful, but I find that it has a bit of an expiry date, that I'd learn new things and I'd be motivated and charged up, and it would last for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, and then it starts to fade away if I don't turn it into daily habits.
Yeah.
And in the last couple of years, I've really focused a lot more on taking what I had known intellectually and translating that into daily action. So in terms of making sure that I meditate each day, that I do journaling, that I do my exercise, I'm learning Chinese, doing that every day. Basically, if I don't do it every day, then it doesn't happen. I'm writing a book as well. I'm not using ChatGPT for it. I'm writing it by hand, and I'm spending 8 minutes every morning writing the book, gradually making progress. Probably in about a year, I'll have completed it. And that's really the biggest thing for me, that if I can do something every day, then I'm going to make progress. It might take a while, but over time I'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. That's where running a company or building a company from scratch, just doing some days, you'll be completely wiped out and you're just like, all right, if I just do this one thing, let me just get this one thing done. And before you know it, you got three things done. You're like, okay. And then the next day, something great will happen, and it's just, but you got to do that one little thing, you just gotta, don't give up, don't lay down on it, just keep going. What practices or techniques, you named a few throughout your day, make your day a success?
I've got, in terms of the way that I structure my day, I've got my morning routine where I begin by going for some exercise outdoors. I find that getting outside, getting some fresh air is really helpful. So I either go for a walk or a run. And then I do a few other things related to exercise later in the day. But basically, I go for the walk, then I do some journaling. I typically spend about 20 minutes doing journaling where I've got questions that I write about in terms of what would make today a great day or what are some of the challenges that I anticipate. So I've got some prompts that I'll follow and then I'll do some free writing. And that's really helpful for dumping out any negativity that I might have in my mind. And it allows me then to actually approach the day with a much more positive mindset.
Yeah,
And
that's
then
good. I probably need to get back into that. I slipped away from that, but I'm still doing my meditations. I do breathing exercises too, like Wim Hof breathing. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's very helpful. And then also grounding. So just taking your shoes off and just either sitting or just planting your feet on the ground, for 30 minutes or so while I'm meditating. And it's been really helpful, just doing those
Absolutely.
little things there. But I used to be a big writer and write everything down, and I've just kind of gotten away from that, but I need to get back to it.
Yeah, I do find it's a helpful complement to meditation. I find that if I do the writing first and then meditate, I can be a lot calmer, whereas otherwise I'm just my brain spinning and it's very hard for me to actually get into a calm state.
Yeah,
I
I know
normally
what
do still
you
keep
mean.
a
All those thoughts are just going, huh?
I normally keep a notepad next to me when I'm meditating
Me
so I can
too.
capture the ideas.
Yeah, me too. If you could interview three people, who would it be?
Three people I'd like to interview. One would be a guy called Rob Walling in the US, who's an entrepreneur who started a lot of bootstrapped tech businesses. I find his approach on life really interesting, where he's found ways to be able to start businesses, keep them relatively small, but have them in a way where they generate income while still being, not having to do the say Mark Zuckerberg approach where it's go big or go home. It's more about a more sustainable approach to entrepreneurship. And I really admire the way that he operates. Another person I'd like to interview, which is not physically possible because she's dead now, the founder of SamaSource, an organization that was set up to try to create income for people in developing countries. She basically set up offices around countries like Kenya and Ethiopia, where people could go in and they actually helped with a lot of the machine vision work, where all those, when you do the capture on websites where you have to indicate how many buses there are, they essentially, when they trained the early versions of that, it came out of these offices where they'd have people who were paid to be able to do that image classification. And it sounds like menial work, but it was actually really helpful for teaching them computer skills. And then they would, over time, they'd get better and be able to get more advanced work as well. And I admire the way that it really democratizes work, that even in countries that are far away, they can still generate income. And then The third person, I'd like to probably interview. There's a guy who is one of the founders of the environmental movement. His name is Bill. I can't remember his last name, but he's got a lot of books about environmental sustainability and climate change. And I admire his take on the world and the way that he's been able to translate science into a way that other people can understand it.
Good, good. Let's say, as we kind of wrap up here, I'd like to, you know, talk about your companies a little bit. So, do you have any networking event, a book, product, service, or invention that we can help you to promote to the audience?
Yeah, I'd love some eyes on the app that I'm building to help people with ADHD. It's called Focus Bear. And the idea is to help with both morning routines. I spoke a bit about mine, and essentially I use Focus Bear to help me with my own morning routine. It has a way of essentially guiding you through the morning routine. In the past, I've had a checklist and I've found that semi-helpful, but I often get distracted. The idea behind Focus Bear is it essentially takes over your screen when you're doing the morning routine. And say when I'm doing yoga as part of my morning routine, it'll have a relevant YouTube video in the middle of the screen and everything else is blocked so that I don't get tempted to go check my email while I'm doing my yoga.
Yeah.
And then it also helps to block distractions during the day. So if I try and go to Facebook when I'm meant to be working, it'll catch me and remind me, hey, you were meant to actually be writing that report instead.
Yeah, so I mean, that'd be a good pairing for businesses. I mean, I'd probably sell that to businesses and people.
Yeah, I think helping people with their productivity is something that's attractive both to individuals and to businesses. So if you want to try it out for your team, very welcome to.
Yeah.
It's available at focusbear.io.
Perfect. Now, what is the best way for the audience to support you or get in contact?
Supporting me, probably going on to the Focus Bear website, and to contact me, LinkedIn would be a great way. I can check out my LinkedIn profile with you and maybe we can include it in the show notes.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, I'll put it in there for you. As we wrap up here, it's been great to have you, Jeremy. And this concludes the podcast episode.